Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that He was able to do while here upon earth, showing His power over all nature, over everything. And we understand that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. Our Father, we pray that Thou wilt strengthen us in our relationship with Him, increase our faith in Him, help us to trust in Him at all times. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Gospel according to Matthew, when we come to the 14th chapter and read in the section that begins at the 22nd verse, we come to the record of one of the most famous miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. Many of the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed were done in public for the attention of others who were not disciples. Men had their eyes opened, blind men had their eyes opened that the public could see. Paralyzed man was made to walk and the public saw it. And many of those miracles were done to restore the sick, to heal the diseased, and to heal the maimed, the crippled, and to raise the dead, or to deliver those who were in bondage to demons, in all of which you would see the Lord working in grace to restore man to his normal way of doing things before sin crippled him. But this miracle that we have here in Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22 and going from verse 22 to 33, this miracle was performed for the apostles. That makes it different and unique right away. This is something done for His own people and was not done to correct any blemish in the personal experience of anyone. Actually, it was going to affect the fortunes of these people. They were in danger, and He got them out of the danger. But apparently, the purpose of this miracle that we're going to be considering was to confirm their faith in Him. Remember now that they had heard Him and they had responded to His call. They were following Him. They were serving Him. They went out to speak in His name. But after all, they were just human beings. And their conception of Him and their grasp of Him would be just such as they could have in their human minds and hearts. And He was building their confidence, strengthening their faith, by demonstrating His power and His will before them so that their hearts and minds could be encouraged to believe. And here, apparently, the purpose was to confirm their faith, to give them a certain conviction as to who He was and to what He was. And so let us look in this chapter 14, beginning at verse 22, with this incident. Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. This would be important for you to remember now, that they're in this boat, in this incident, in this affair, because He told them to go. That's helpful to us in our understanding. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Mark tells us in reporting this incident that they were toiling and rowing. They were digging furiously with their oars because the wind was contrary, and it's going to happen on these small lakes. A real squall coming up can be real dangerous. And these people were out now in a storm in danger. And remember, all the time, they were there because He told them to go. They were doing what He wanted them to do when this trouble arose. Now in verse 25, we read, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Now, walking on the water is the way in which it's referred to in the ordinary reference by people, generally speaking, is certainly one of the most spectacular works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking on a stormy sea. And if you think that this is something told because it's easy to believe, listen to this. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. That's a mild way of putting it. They were inwardly greatly disturbed and upset, saying, "It is a spirit, That sounds very mild. If it was in our day and time, we'd say it's a ghost. Same word. And they cried out for fear. What I mean to say is that when they saw this person walking on the water, it was like an apparition to them. It scared them. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Take courage. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I want you to look very closely at that. The Lord did. The Peter himself could not tell for sure. He didn't know for sure that was Jesus Christ. Maybe he was just a ghost. Maybe it was just an apparition. Maybe it was an hallucination of some sort. And he's going to put it to the test. If it's just an imagination, believe me, he'd sink out there. And he was, whatever else you may think about Peter, you need to think of a man who was in dead earnest. He really wanted to know. And he was willing to risk. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee, having this in mind. If that's the Lord Jesus Christ really, and he's able to walk on the water, he can hold me up because he can do for me what he can do with himself. And if it isn't the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll find out. This is what he said. And he said, Come. Isn't that wonderful? No more than that. Come. That's what he's going to say to you. You may have all the reasons for your uncertainty. You may have all the questions in your mind that you would have. You turn to him, and you may wonder about this and wonder about that and wonder about that. And if you stop and listen, he's going to say one word to you. Come. Now I want to tell you, whatever you think about Peter, you listen to this. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It isn't the walking on the water I especially want to emphasize. I want to emphasize he came down on the water. What I mean to say about Peter, he was willing to go on through with it. And from his point of view, it was a real risk. And he came down and walked on the water, which was an astonishing thing. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. I think it's very important for you to notice what he was afraid of and why he was afraid. I do not know which way he was looking when he came down on the water. I suspect that he was thinking about that person he heard out there. I would think he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. When he started walking on the water, he suddenly realized where he was. And he saw the wind boisterous, you know, the waves mounting up, and heard the wind and saw the whole danger that he was in. He was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, much depends on our spiritual experience and which way we're looking and what we're looking at. In any trouble that you may be in, if you look at the trouble, you'll get sick. You look at the trouble, you'll be downhearted and discouraged. If you look at the trouble long enough, you can get seasick. It just is nauseating. It's just upsetting. I would suggest for every one of us that in any day of trouble or of distress or of sorrow or of grief, we look at the Lord Jesus. Look to him. And in any case, whether we do or whether we don't, whether our experience is successful or not, let us call on him. That's what Peter did. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, you know, I have never had the feeling that the Lord Jesus was scolding Peter for little faith. I never have had the feeling that that was spoken in belittling him, in any kind of depreciation. I know it was little faith, but it was faith. Imagine if you didn't have any, where so many people are. You start with little faith. The little faith you have will do what? Well, what did I do for Peter? It'll get you started. It'll start you walking with the Lord. Then you'll learn more. Believe me, when this was all over, Peter believed a whole lot more than he did when he started. But he had enough to start. And let us say, for as far as you and I are concerned, let us not despise the day of little things. If you have just a little faith, as a grain of mustard seed, and you will exercise it, God will begin to do, then you can believe more and more and more. He says to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now this brings out this idea of doubt I was mentioning in a recent study. when you have started, and then you begin to think that what you're doing is impossible. You begin to think that the circumstances are too unfavorable. You begin to think that there's too much against you. You think you have a reason for not doing it. That's doubting. Doubting has, it comes up when you're already considering some promise or even involved in answering some promise and responding to it, and then for any reason you begin to waver because you think you've got good reason for wavering. Wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. And personally, I think that was the point he was driving toward. The whole thing, that these servants of his were to be convinced about, get it right deep down into their bones, that Jesus of Nazareth was really God, the Son of God. Because it would make so much difference to their faith. And the same principle is operative in any trouble that you and I can be in. If any of us are confronted by some sudden storm of events, that doesn't mean we're on the wrong road. We may have been doing exactly what the Lord wanted us to do. And the storm bursts on us with all its fury. And in that storm, if we will look to Him, and exercise our faith in Him, we'll find out that He is able to control even the storms that beset us, and we'll know He really is the Son of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add Thy blessing to our thinking and to our hearts while we meditate on this word. Strengthen our faith. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.